Today's reading is from Matthew 21, verses 25 through 27. Or please turn to Matthew 21, 25 through 27 in your Bible, or turn to page 802 in the Bibles provided. John's baptism. Where did it come from? Was it from heaven or of human origin? They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Then he said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." You may be seated.
At some point in our life, we are forced to make decisions. There are some decisions in your life you don't have to make. For instance, I worked at the VA Medical Center, and sometimes you just couldn't get an answer out of some government employees. I called it management by ignoring. If you get an email, you just don't respond. And you know what happens? Magically, the problem goes away. But it doesn't. Maybe it does for you, because if you ignore it long enough, people just get tired of dealing with you and go somewhere else. But there comes time in your life when you do have to make a decision, and you will have to decide which way you will stand. You will have to make a decision what you believe. And you will have to decide your actions based on those beliefs. Some people will put it off as long as they can. They will just pass the email on. They will not respond to the phone call. They will block the number. And some decisions, some things you can do that with. But other decisions are so important. Not only should you not ignore them, eventually you cannot, and they will catch up with you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, let us choose you to be our authority. Let us choose to follow you. Lord, let us respond to the call you have placed on our life. Lord, let us bear fruit and good deeds, not to win you over, Lord, rather because we love you and we desire to serve you. We pray this in your holy name. Amen and amen. Jesus is our authority. In Matthew 21, beginning in verse 18, early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. The day before, he had cleansed the temple, as Matthew presents it, and he was coming back for more. He had probably gone east into Bethany, and now was coming back west into Jerusalem. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." And immediately the tree withered. Jesus is demonstrating the context of his power and that he has authority. And it may sound harsh to fig trees. And maybe all fruit trees are shaking in fear of Jesus walking by them. Jesus had nothing against fig trees or fruit trees. The issue was, there was a purpose. Earlier, he had been in the temple. The temple grounds where the Jewish people would make their sacrifices and worship the Lord. There is one temple, and this is the temple grounds area. And he had gone there. And they were taking advantage of people. The religious leaders, the one who should be leading the people to God, instead were taking them for their money, taking advantage of them, and being corrupt. Now, they were never to sell animals on the Temple Mount anyway. They should do it elsewhere because that was a place of prayer. But to add insult to injury, they then would gouge the people and take advantage of them. Jesus understood they had to buy their animals for sacrifice. Jesus understands that not all fig trees are bad. But fig trees have a certain purpose. And it's not just to bear leaves. Leaves are important. It takes care of the photosynthesis, helps bring the plant's life. But the total purpose of a fig tree's life is very exclusive. It's to produce figs. To produce figs. If you plant corn, and here we do soybeans and wheat, you have a funny way of looking at things. You actually expect that seed you plant to grow and produce more wheat kernels, more corn, to bring you more soybeans. Otherwise, why would you waste all that time and energy digging up the ground, planting, using herbicides, sometimes praying for rain, sometimes irrigating, if you expected nothing to happen? If I plant an apple orchard, the funny thing is, as the trees mature, I would expect to be able to harvest apples and sell them. And you would not think that I was strange if I had such expectations. No one plants to harvest nothing. So if I planted all these apple trees and nothing happened, of course I would be disappointed. And I'd probably chop them all down and use it for firewood and plant some apple trees that did produce apples. And no one would think twice. But the disciples didn't kind of get this at first. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. And they say, how did the fig tree wither so quickly, they asked. I mean, they're kind of just caught up in the moment and this kind of mini miracle of the fig tree withering away, whether in minutes or hours over a time period, we don't know. And sometimes we say, well, that was hyperbolic, but it seems like it happened right then and there. It was a literal withering of the fig tree. You know, because sometimes Jesus says there's a board in your eye. And he's not talking about a real board in your eye. And sometimes they'll say, like, you know, the harvest is ripe. And, well, it's not harvest time, but he's speaking in stories. But here, when he's talking about the fig tree, the disciples are there. It happens immediately. And Jesus is like, where's the fruit? There's no purpose if you don't produce fruit. And the disciples don't get it. Jesus had the authority on the temple. He walks on the temple and he says, this isn't where you sell, where you buy and sell. And it's definitely not the place where you take advantage of people and price gouge them. And Jesus' authority, he's like, you're a fruit tree, produce fruit. Do what you're supposed to do. And that metaphor would carry over to his disciples then and to us today. And he builds on that. And he shows how that authority and about his business is given to us. Jesus replied in verse 21, I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, because the disciples are like, how did you do that? So he's going to kind of answer their question, understanding they've kind of missed the whole point. But if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but you can also say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for, in prayer. Now, is this as literal as the withering of the fig tree? I don't think so. I think it's more of a metaphor. It's about we are to be about the kingdom's business, taking on mountains of issues and problems that would come against the kingdom and to overcome them. It's also metaphorical for the problems in our life, to overcome them. And in Christ, to be about his business and overcoming the adversity that will come against us. Because they are about to come against Jesus. And he is going to demonstrate the disciples to how to stand up and move mountains. And then he goes on, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. I believe it is a very straightforward path. But I would tell you this, it is not some kind of magical charm or incantation. I would say to us, myself as a believer, I can be over-intellectual sometimes, that we don't see miracles and the hand of God moving because we do lack faith at times. But if it always came down to our faith, I think we'd all be doomed because none of us have enough faith at times. And even then, Jesus says, you only need a little bit. And then we even use that verse about faith against other people. And we'll blame other people. Well, it's because you don't have faith. I actually knew of a family where the son died. And they blamed his wife for the illness because she was the one who didn't have enough faith for his healing. I don't think that's at all what Jesus was getting at here. To use faith like that to blame someone. And besides, I could argue back, but who wants to argue about this? My friend is dead. A son is dead. Her husband is dead. And say, well, if you had so much faith, you could have overcome her unbelief. Where does that argument get us? Jesus talks about having faith to advance the kingdom, and then we make it some kind of an in-house argument about who's more spiritual. Just like the disciples, Jesus is talking about bearing fruit. And they're impressed that a fig tree withered. And it's like, no, you guys are missing the boat. You know, besides, if we really could throw mountains into the sea and we were that powerful spiritually, think of the mess we would cause, all the unintended consequences. Oh, yeah, I was moving that mountain. Sorry, I dropped it on your house. I lost a little faith there for a while and it fell. Oh, they. Again, this isn't a magic charm, some kind of incantation like witchcraft. Because over and over again in the Bible we see nothing is impossible with God as long as we're about his business. And I use the analogy over and over. If I send my child to the store and say, tell them your father sent you. Or mom goes, tell them your mother sent you. To buy these supplies, this food, and they take the card and they go, candy! If that clerk knows anything, they're going to say, your mother I know, your father I know, and I don't think they want you buying candy with this, and there's no candy for you. But they said I could get what I need. Yeah, and you don't need candy. And that's what we are sometimes. We just want our stuff. But he gives us this power to move mountains in faith to advance the kingdom of God, not our own selfish desires. Because if we could, then we would almost destroy ourselves and each other. But we are called to move the mountains for advancing the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. To do it in his character, in his authority, to be about his work. And yes, we have needs. And I will be the first to admit to you, and many of you in here will all vouch, that oftentimes we have desires and hopes that are legitimate, and those prayers aren't answered. And all I can say is, I don't fully understand how God works on this side. I don't know. And yet I still believe this verse, that we can move mountains in faith, and be about his kingdom and his business as believers that are bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. But something will happen to all of us before that comes to fruition. We will have to deal with, I can say almost jokingly, the demons in our life, the mountains in our life, the culture and society that will come against us. Jesus was standing against the Jewish leaders. They were supposed to be on the side of the people. demonstrating the love of God and the power of God to the people to build and bring them up. And instead, they were using the people to make money. In verse 23, Jesus entered the temple courts. He had been there before when he cleansed the temple and knocked everything over, knocked all the traders, all the commerce out, because it wasn't a place for buying and selling. It was a place for prayer. He entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. These are the religious leaders. There's groups called the Pharisees. There's groups called the Sadducees, the elders, the scribes. And sometimes they were in both groups, and sometimes they weren't. But they were the people that were supposed to love the Lord and lead the people to the Lord. Instead, it had become an issue of they loved their pocketbooks and they took as much money from the people to line their pocketbooks. There's nothing wrong with making a good salary. That's not what they were doing. I mean, they were priests and scribes and Sadducees, religious leaders, and they need to eat too. They need food. They'd given up things. But in a way then, when they were supposed to give up and serve the Lord, instead of doing that, instead of getting a good salary, they wanted more, and they used their position for their own selfish needs. So he entered the temple, and while he was teaching, the chief priests, the elders, the people came to him, the elders of the people. By what authority are you doing these things, they asked, and who gave you this authority? What are they asking? They're going back to all this teaching. Jesus, throughout the book of Matthew, through all the Gospels, is taking on these religious leaders all the time. He's calling them out. This isn't the first time. The other day, he just cleansed the temple and taken them on, and they were too scared to stand against them, but they were mad at him. See, the temple mound was huge, some 29, 30 football fields. The temple was in the middle. There were courts on each side. It was set up for a place of worship. Oftentimes when Jesus would teach his disciples, it was up there on the top of the temple, under the colonnades, which are shaded areas. Maybe it was on the steps leading up into the temple. It was the center of their religious life. You know, if you work in education, if you're a professor, the center of your life is the campus, the building that you work out of. If you're an airplane pilot, what's the center of your life? The airplane. The airport. That's where everything comes from. Which just makes sense. And for these Jewish people, these religious leaders, they love the Lord, and the temple was the center of their life. And they're there to go to worship. And these leaders had misused their power and turned it into a place where they could make more money. And Jesus goes up there and he knocks them all out and he scatters them and chases them away. And they didn't like that. And it wasn't the first time he had called them out. And they're really too scared to take him on, so what they're going to do is try to trap him. But what authority? Who gave you this authority? See, because if he answers wrong, he gets himself in trouble. Jesus replied, "I will ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I'm doing these things." So he makes a counter offer. I think he's being completely sincere. He's one step ahead of him. You know, if you're going to play poker, don't play poker with Jesus. I'm not saying Jesus plays poker. I'm just saying he knows the cards you have. Jesus knows their cards. And you know what? I believe this. It doesn't say here. Jesus still loved them. Jesus is hoping they would repent and say, "We've led the people down the wrong path." I believe he still cares for them. They think Jesus is the enemy. Jesus thinks, "Yes, you treat me like the enemy, and I'm going to stand up to you. And I wish you'd repent and bear fruit, not be a withered fig tree." Jesus replied, "I will ask you one question if you answer me. I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things." He says, John's baptism. John's baptism. Where did it come from? Was it from heaven or of human origin? From heaven means of God. Now, John had gone before Jesus. He was Jesus' cousin. He was the one in the wilderness. He wore camel hair and ate locusts. Whether that was real locust, the animal, or it was some kind of locust bean, I don't know. But it was a rough diet. Let's just say it was really high in fiber. And John's out there in the wilderness calling people to repent. And at that time they had these mikvahs, which were ceremonial cleaning baths. And people would ceremoniously clean themselves in these baths before they went into worship. And John's doing it out in the desert. And again, it's almost ceremonial, like, he's going to baptize you. It's a sign of washing away your sins, and you're walking out clean. You're going to follow God. You're repenting. It's a baptism of repentance. And he baptizes Jesus. He's calling the people under repentance to follow the Lord, to change their way. And the leaders come out to him. Before they even went after Jesus, they were going after John. And John really wasn't known for his political correctness or couth. And he said, you brood of vipers. And they didn't repent. So who was John's authority? Was he just out there causing duress and factions and riling the people up for no good reason? Or was he really called of God and God's prophet? So who was John's authority? Was it from heaven? Crazy man. They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, Jesus will ask, and why didn't you believe him? I mean, that'd be a valid point. Then they should have repented. But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. Talk about a bunch of cowards. They're not saying, well, let's find out what the truth is. They're like, no. Which way can we give an answer that gets us out of this mess? I mean, you've seen people being interviewed, celebrities, politicians, and they ask them a question, and they talk for 5 minutes, and they do anything but answer the question. You know, I apologize if in some way I offended you. Why don't you apologize for stabbing me in the back? And I apologize if that hurt. Why don't you apologize that you stabbed me in the back? I apologize if your white shirt got bloody. No, apologize that you stabbed me in the back. They'll say anything but admit they stabbed you in the back. I'm not offended. I'm bleeding. I mean, and they're so just manipulative with their words. I mean, if someone stabbed you in the back, wouldn't you want them to repent and say, I should not have stabbed you in the back? Oh, I apologize if you're offended and that bothers you. Yeah, of course it bothers me. And you see these interviews sometimes, you see people ask questions, and you can listen for a half hour, and you know as little before as after. And here's these religious leaders doing that. Well, let's get down to the truth. No, how can we answer this and get out of town? Cowards, not truth. Fear of people. So they took the coward's way out. We don't know. Okay, that's just bizarre. Because really, there's no way they could have believed it was from heaven. Because if it was, they would have repented and changed. Or what's even worse, if they did believe it's from heaven and wouldn't listen, what does that say? They didn't believe it was from heaven. Or they are some of the cold-hearted people you can imagine. Because if they thought it really was from heaven, from God, they should have knelt on their knees and repented. So, they give a non-answer, unwilling to stand up for what they believe. Cowards. And so Jesus says, if you don't know, then he said, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. See, if Jesus said he was from heaven, then they could say it's blasphemy and try to come after him. And see, he's on their home territory. You know, before when he's up in Galilee, You couldn't follow him on Facebook. You couldn't follow him on GPS. You couldn't give him one of those iPhone smart tags and follow him. It'd be hard to find him. And let's face it, a bunch of young dudes in long robes with beards, it's hard to point him out in a crowd. But now he's on their home turf. And if he blasphemies the people, if he blasphemies them and says that he's God, they're going to come after him. But he won't answer. They made a deal, and Jesus followed through. They were unwilling to take a stand. Cowards. And in a way, I can sympathize them, because sometimes we've all been in points like that where it's like, if I stand up for them, I'm in big trouble. He came to town. The triumphal entry had happened. He'd come in as a king. He cleansed the house of God. Like, he had the authority to do it because he did. I mean, you don't take over the temple unless you're in charge, and he did. And where would that authority come from? God. And they were too scared to stop him. Here's the issue. Jesus had to stand up to them. He had to make a decision. He acted and did what was right. Those religious leaders stood up to Jesus, but when it came to acting and doing what's right, they said, I don't know, and took the coward's way out. What will we do? What will I do? When our society, our culture, our media, our political leaders, celebrities, social media, as I heard, keyboard warriors, everyone's brave behind a computer desk. When they come out and attack us or ask you, what do you believe? Do you really believe all that Jesus nonsense? You see, everybody wants to believe in Jesus. He's a good guy. But our world, our society wants a Jesus that they can create. They want a Jesus that loves them just the way they are, but not enough a love to have them change. See, if you love someone, you want what's best for them, even if that means repentance and change. They don't want, our society doesn't want to be told they're doing anything wrong. Don't you tell me to repent. Don't you tell me I can't get a divorce. Don't tell me that I can do whatever I want sexually. Don't tell me I can't cheat on my taxes. Don't tell me I can't commit adultery. How dare you tell me that? They wanted Jesus to like, yeah, that's okay. If that's what makes you feel good, you do that. They want to be their own God. And at some point, you and I here are going to have to stand up for the Jesus of the Bible, who loves people. I believe he loved these Pharisees and religious leaders, and he wanted them to repent. And they had every opportunity. At some point in your life, we're all going to make mistakes, and we're going to have to make the decision, I repent. At some point, we're going to have to be able to stand up to our society and our culture and say, no, that's wrong. I'm following Jesus Christ. Even 10 years ago, I could have preached this, and some of the consequences that we face today would not have existed. There are certain jobs, if you do that today, you will probably lose your job. And there have been people who have. Now, people don't always do it in the proper way, and I agree that sometimes things are said in the wrong way. There's no excuse for that. But sometimes, no matter how loving or how caring you are, when you decide to stand against our culture and society, nothing's good enough. Nothing's good enough. We are called to bear fruit as believers in Jesus Christ. When you look at the fruit of the Spirit, it's love, joy, peace, kindness. We're called to be kind and gentle, but we're also called to be speaking out the power and truth and authority of Jesus Christ. You see, we are exclusivists. As Christians, just as Muslims probably are, I know Mormons are, and there's maybe some other religions. We believe, as Christians, that Jesus Christ is the only way. Other religions don't cut it. Some religions believe the same, that only their religion is right. Some religions believe there's all different ways to Jesus Christ. We have to stand up. We stand up and say, Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Jesus. And when you say that, they are offended. And I'm not going to apologize if they're offended. I'm going to say, repent and follow Jesus Christ. And if they don't, I guess we can agree to disagree. But in some places, they don't agree to disagree. They will attack you and they will malign you for standing up for Jesus Christ. Let us be a people that are willing to bear fruit, that are willing to stand up and do what's right, that will do what needs to be done. Jesus Christ has put us on this earth to proclaim Him. Today, to a culture, so a society, a media, celebrities that stand openly against us and will ridicule us, demean us, and put us down. And we are not called to respond in kind, but we are called to respond with the love and power and authority of Jesus Christ and speak the truth of His death, and not only His death, but His resurrection and hope for our salvation and eternal life. Let us be willing to stand up to any culture, any society, and the grace and power of our Lord Jesus Christ, proclaim Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You. Again, let us bear fruit. Let us serve You, Father. Let us be willing to stand in boldness for You. Many of us here, that is not an issue. But for many around the world and for some of us here, that is an issue. Let us support them in prayer. Let us come beside them. Lord, let us be a light to our community, the power of Jesus Christ. Never backing down, understanding the authority that Jesus has and that He has given us to move powerfully about His mission and kingdom. We pray this in Your holy name. Amen.